Hey everybody, we're good to go. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept with the following letters: type Q if you have a question, C for a comment, P for propose, S for second, and please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Okay, thank you, members. Okay, apologies. Any apologies today?
Start with apologies from Councillors Brennan and Cathal Kane.
Thank you. Item number two, members' declarations of interest. Have any? Okay, thank you. And item number three is the action sheet from the meeting on the 29th of January this year, and we go through that page by page for accuracy. So page one, page two, page three, page four. Okay, members, there is one item on the agenda, on the action sheet, the first item on it there in relation to training. And I know there was training organised recently, 30th of April. And unfortunately, I think a number of members were unable to attend. So just to say that I'm advised that it will be rearranged, and I would encourage everybody to attend it. It's actually done by onboard training. I've been to two or three of their courses on the audit committee. It is very useful. It's always a learning. I would attend normally. I couldn't make it this time. Up to speed with different changes and relevant issues that arise and how we conduct our business. So if members are content, rearrange that. Mr. Bowsey.
I attended audit training about 6 months ago, and I think you were at that as well, presenting.
I was.
Just duplicate of that? That's okay, I think.
No, it's definitely not a duplicate of that. This is done by onboard training a different company, private company, specifically in relation to the audit committee, very specific in relation to the business of it. So it's definitely not a duplicate of that. Would I would suggest, highly recommend it. Okay, members? Sorry,
yeah, is there a potential to have it like on the same day as audit? So, like, say, for example, I have to sort of take a day off to come here anyway, so if we had it in the morning or just after, maybe we'll get more attendance.
Sarah, do you
have yeah, so, I mean, we can have it whenever it sits to councillors. I suppose we were opening it to all councillors, and that's why we were having it at 5 o'clock. When I was speaking to David then on Thursday, and he has said that he will be able to provide it on Teams as well, if required, so... rather than him travelling down again, that we do it on Teams.
Yeah, okay. Do we leave to yourself, Sarah, then, to organise another one? Yeah. Given that all councillors, I think, pose a different slight slant on the timing of it, perhaps? Okay, thank you. No further questions. Okay, members, can I have a proposer and seconder to a note the action sheet, then, please? Thank you. Thank you, Councillor O'Hare. Seconder, members? Okay, Councillor Hannan, thank you. Okay, members, item number four is the date and start times of meetings for 26th 6:27. You have there before you four meetings, July, September, January and April, just for approval. If anybody has any issues with those dates that they want to... 7. Sorry, I find it hard to see the colour.
Just looking at the 22nd of April, it'll be 2 weeks before the elections. Otherwise, in terms of try, we likely get a quorum.
Chair, we can take a look at that. We are currently in discussion around the schedule of meetings for run up to the election, but our planning committee. So, unfortunately, we may require people to their campus in Derry to be involved in the. We'll endeavour to work with you.
Okay, thank you, Chief Executive. Councillor Devlin.
I'm just happy to propose them in principle.
Okay. Except. Seconder members? Thank you. Item number 5 is the Audit Committee Terms of Reference and Timetable. And Joe is going to take this report.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So, members, it's just best practice to review the Terms of Reference annually. They're compared against 3 best practice documents, highlighted at 2.1. So, our Terms of Reference didn't need any amendments this year, as they already comply with best practice. At Appendix 3, then, is the Audit Committee timetable for 26-27, and that just lays out the standard and agenda items with any other reports that are supposed to go each quarter, and also highlights who should be attending the pre-meeting quarterly. So members are just asked to approve the Audit Committee Terms of Reference and note the timetable for the year ahead.
Thank you, Gerard. Any questions? Questions, members? It's a... Proposer and seconder then for that, as Gerard indicated there, to approve that terms of reference and then the timetable. O'Hare, thank you. Okay, members, item number 6 is the Audit Committee self-assessment, and this is an annual self-assessment. You've seen this before. And basically, this is a draft, and the completed self-assessment checklist has been sent out to each of you for comment. It is quite comprehensive and detailed, so bear with it if you can. It has been completed, so if you see any comments that you want to make, please respond accordingly, and then we'll bring the final report to the July meeting. Any questions, members? Just asking you to note that report at the moment. Proposed by Councillor Bonsi. Seconded by O'Hare. Okay, item number 7 is the draft performance improvement objectives 26-27. And Gerard, you're taking this. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So, members, the draft performance improvement objectives for 26-27 were tabled at the SPNR committee on the 12th of February 2026. So, consultation has now closed at the audit committee next week on the 14th of May. These draft objectives are going for final approval. To comply with our timetable. So the 5 objectives remain. There is slight change to the wording in relation to the draft objective 4 in relation to sustainability, and a few of the targets and measures have changed. But this will all be detailed in the SPNR report next week, which will be going for approval. And then at the next meeting in July, the SPNR report will be tabled for noting at the audit committee. So members are just asked to note the contents of the report.
Thank you, George. Any questions, members? Oh, sorry. Councillor Bowsey first.
Yes, just to ask about performance improvement objective 5 and details that are included here about planning. There seems to be very little improvement on planning times. The planning issues are quite significant. Quite a significant impact on ratepayers and applicants, whether they're business or private. Get some more detail on what are for this huge backlog.
I can respond to that, and members will know that we table a quarterly report to both the Audit Committee and to SPNR in respect of performance against the statutory targets and against our business plan objectives. I think it's not any secret that there is significant challenges with recruitment and retention, quality of applications submitted, and the performance and response times from our statutory consultees. We're continuing to look at new ways and innovative ways to try and improve, to try and be quicker in our decision making and trying to streamline the process, and that continues. And there'll be further proposals brought forward to SPNR next week around other interventions that the planning department hope to put in place to try and continue with that work. But we're very conscious of the impacts. In the last 68 weeks, there has been improvements in turnaround times, and we hope that we continue that trajectory.
If I could just come in again, one of the issues that may be occurring, I don't know whether it is or whether you can answer this, is about the link to the health and well-being of the planning staff. I'm sure it's a stressful enough environment to work in at the best of times, but in terms of this ongoing backlog, that's bound to add significant pressure to the workday of anybody within the planning department. And is that contributing to the problems with retaining staff? Has health and well-being been considered, perhaps to the extent that it may need to be?
Just in response to retention and recruitment, health and well-being, and all other factors are a consideration are taken on board when we're managing the department. We are a department, we are a council that put health and well-being of our staff at the forefront of everything we do. So it's a consideration. I think it's the volume of work is a challenge. We have targets set within our business case around the number of applications that we will determine on a monthly basis. And I think that's 110. And at the mid-year review, we're exceeding that. With respect to dealing with the day-to-day issues and determining the number of applications that each case officer is assigned, we're exceeding what we've expecting. The issue is that the backlog remains the same. We're dealing with the applications that are coming in the door. It's the backlog, and we have some suggestions on how we can deal with that. As I said, it'll come through next week.
I just want to come in relation to health and well-being. So health and well-being is conversation. We've had a huge emphasis on the that we provide as a council staff, and we've held like health and well-being day, actually provided additional support mechanisms for staff as well to provide opportunities for staff as they need specialists. We've done lots of that, and that's right across our council. We don't health and well-being.
Through the chair, the health and well-being working group have an annual work plan, and they engage groups that are maybe isolated, for example, staff that aren't based at a particular hub, and they have done a lot of work with them, including multi-agency groups coming into physical health, the mental health, money management, all the different those aspects that impact somebody's health, whether it's in the workplace or outside of the workplace. They're also leading on the health and well-being staff stress survey, and working closely with HSE and I to roll out that survey. Now that survey will be rolled out. In addition to that, we have run mental health check-ins. This for just specific questions. Personal triggers, whether it's inside. That's done in partnership with the HR department. Comment feedback from Stephen. There's a lot of work across the
Could I just ask only one follow-up question? Would it would it be your assessment that health and well-being is a factor in backlog and reason in planning?
Sure, I think I'm really conscious that we're in a session of staff. I'm noticing generally there's that process. There are many issues that impact on planning, and I think it's really important to recognise that it's not just our council that has planning. We have issues with our external consultees and statutory consultees. It's only that IEA, isn't it?
I could probably just give a general sort of position in respect of our responses from our statutory consultees. We, with respect to the percentage of consultee responses that we receive within the statutory time frame, it's 66% of our statutory consultees respond to us within the statutory time frame. Our nearest comparable council, and I'll not name them, in respect of size of council and number of applications that they, or consultations that they issue, they're run at 86% of their responses are back within the statutory time frame. So we're at a 20% deficit to our nearest comparable council before the planning department can engage with determining an application and making a decision. So that's a significant challenge within this planning department with respect to the responsiveness of our statutory consultees. If you look at the percentage of effort within a planning application, a typical one, about 15% of the effort is from the council when we validate and allocate and issue consultations. 70% of the time allocation is allocated towards statutory consultations and 15% at the end to consider the responses, make a determination, issue the decision by council officers. So that sort of breaks down how the planning process is not totally within our gift. And it's a challenge when we are so reliant on our statutory consultees. And as I said, them figures show that we are running at a deficit in respect of the response times from our statutory consultees in comparison with our nearest council. But I think the message has to be that we're at the bottom of the table in respect of response times as well, and that's based on the stats that are presented by DFI.
I concur with what Councillor Kerr has said. Planning continues to be a concern. And that's being a concern. I think maybe Marie was going to allude to this, that the shared environmental services in East Antrim Council has said that they're not going to be offering that service anymore. So there's a key. If I has to, my fine. Good to see that there's no vacant posts. I get what you're saying in terms of once there's so many applications in the system, it'll always stay at a certain number of weeks because it's come in, has come out. Just to point out, perhaps a mistake. So, item 7, appendix 1, page 20, it says 45.2 weeks from 2024 to 2025. I said it's 44.6 weeks. That would be an improvement to me, but it's marked there as a trend going down. Might as well take the win if you can. Another general point there on trees, page 17. The target was 2,800 trees to be planted last year and only 257 trees, 9% of the target.
Please.
Just in relation to shared environmental services,
At Solus, we are looking at shared environmental services. I don't think it's a ministry that they won't be providing that service. It's a service provided on behalf of the 11 councils. There is a challenge with some aspects of it at the minute, so that will get fed back through the planning committee at the relevant time. What I was going to actually refer to is the Northern Ireland Environment Agency, who have said that it will take them 6 months or 18 months to issue a response to a consultation. They've advised contractors and consultants of that, so, but it will definitely come back on the detail. I actually picked up the Shared Environmental Services for a request for an urgent meeting with somebody this morning in my office, Chair of Solus, but I have not had time to look.
Obviously welcome that there will be a paper coming to SBNR next month, or next week to, I suppose, try and address the issues within planning. Would you agree, Connor, is there a correlation between the assigning of case officers and the delay in consultation? Because I suppose in my mind what I'm thinking is if they don't have a case officer, then the consultation hasn't been actually enacted. So that may be what the delay is, because I think at the minute, going by the cases that are coming into me as a councillor and into the MLA office, they're nearly 8 months waiting now to actually get an officer assigned to them. So that's an 8 month delay in actually even going to consultation.
Chair, once the applications come in, they're validated, and all validations are now up to date. There was a historical backlog in validations, but that's now been addressed. What that does then, that puts the moves them into an allocation. And case officers are currently running at 60 to 80 applications per person for the minute, which is significantly higher than any other council, from what I have been advised. Until they get applications out the door, they can't be allocated anymore, because we're very mindful of not having too heavy of a workload on our staff. That does result then in a gap between validation and allocation. We're working very hard to bring that down, and to try and get more allocated and get more issued, and see if there's any way that we can strip out some of the unnecessary consultations, potentially, that applications can move forward and be out to decisions swifter. The clock starts with our consultees when we actually allocate and issue the consultee request to the consultee, not whenever we have it validated. So the challenge is getting applications from validation to allocation, and because of the workloads, and as I say, we're continuing to work and look at ways and how we can try to address that, but it is a challenge, and I think that's been discussed on a number of occasions, both in this committee, SPNR, and at full council.
Connor, thank you. Catherine Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose just to follow on from the comments that they made earlier, we still do have significant issues, and I know that's no surprise to anybody in this chamber, and I appreciate that the issue is far from straightforward, and very much welcome, Connor, that we're going to be getting a report, obviously, within the week or so. But I know, like any elected member here, we're just getting inundated, and behind every application is generally a very, very genuine story, whether it's somebody getting married, having a new baby, wanting to live closer to a family relative that's unwell. So we have all those things in the background, and whenever that happens, you obviously go online, you're checking the portal, but quite often then you're emailing an officer, and you know then that you're nearly then taking them away from doing the work they need to do to get the processing times and get things out the door. So it is far from straightforward. Connor, just to go back on the point that you made there regarding, maybe I picked you up wrong, in terms of the statutory consultees and the response times, were you saying really that in terms of our council we're being treated more at a disadvantage in terms of response times to ourselves compared to other councils?
I don't think I used the word disadvantage. Okay, it's just that the response times that we are less than our comparable council.
Why is that?
That's something that I'm progressing to try and find out.
Because that's absolutely something that needs hitting. Yeah. We've enough challenges that within our own control. But
it's something that I've taken on board, councillor, to engage with the leads within each of the consultee departments to try and determine why that may be.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Connor.
Thank you. Councillor Byrne online, please, if you'd like to come in.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I suppose that's the disadvantage of being online. The question has been raised now twice, spoken to that afterwards. We had got the information on statutory consultees responses in a previous meeting, and I wanted to get that information out, but Conor's already given it, and Laura's asked the question. Conor, can you take a report back to the audit committee in terms of why, I will use the word disadvantage, because 20% lower in response time from the request goes out is a disadvantage, and we need to know from the audit committee a reason why. So it has been answered, Chair, but just to get information coming back from the next audit committee on that. And just to note, I can't hear a word that Marie and Sinead saying because the microphones aren't working. So I have absolutely no idea in the responses there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, Marie, it's the same thing. Anybody that's online, your microphone always goes on for a second, off for two, on for a second, on for two, but Sinead's just cuts out for like 10 seconds. So you have to fill in the gaps. So I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now, but if you speak for 10 seconds. Yes, thanks. Listen, we continue if the chair can maybe even summarise what was said.
Okay, Councillor Burns, apologies for that. Some technological glitch there. Okay, members, if we're content, we'll move forward and get a... Sorry, beg your pardon. Chine would like to come in and trees. Come over here. Through the chair, just in relation to the point from Councillor Bowsey, in relation to the number of trees planted, and I just want to highlight that the teams that will be dealing with the planting of the trees have been responding to storm damage and clear ups in the forests and trails belonging to the council. So that has impacted on how we've been able to deliver on that.
Through the chair, just update that the 89 trees planted was the half year figure up to September. The target was met this year for tree planting. Nothing advised, it's in the report.
Yeah, Chair, I was just going to come in. So the report in front of you was actually at a point in time. It went to SPNR in February, so it was 6 months stats. So for SPNR next week, you'll have the year end statistics, and the tree target has actually been met. I have the report in front of me for SPNR next week. And thanks, Councillor Bowsey, for the basis. So we'll have a look at them and share that.
Just.
Bowsey, yes?
So the target's 2,800 trees.
Could you? Thank you.
It needs to shout.
Yeah, we're just
shout.
The target is 2,800 trees. So if 89 were planted in the first quarter, how's that on target?
I'm saying the target was 2,800 trees for the full year, and the statistics in front of you in this report was for 6 months. But now, at the end of March, and there's updated statistics going to SPNR, we're really representing the paper that went to SPNR because that's the governance process for performance. But our year-end target of 2,800 trees has been met, and that will go to SPNR next month. That was at a point in time, and at 6 months, it was only... sorry, I don't have the figure in front of me, but it was only that amount of trees planted, but we now have met our target at the 31st of March, 2026.
Trees. Thank you. Okay, members, thank you for all those questions and the officers for responses. That we're looking for a proposal and seconder to note that report, and that's item number 7. Thank you, Councillor O'Hare and Councillor Devlin. Thank you. Okay, members, moving on to the Corporate Risk Register, item number 8, as well as the Corporate Services Risk Register. And Gerard's going to take this first. Thank you, Gerard.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So, Appendix 1, the cover sheet really gives you the update on the corporate risk register, and that was updated by the senior management team on the 28th of April 26. We still have 12 corporate risks, and 7 of those have a red risk rating, 4 amber, and 1 which is a yellow level risk. Section 2.3 then deals with the directorate risk registers, so every quarter you'll get a different directorate. And it's the Corporate Services Directorate Risk Register presented for noting this quarter. And that was updated by the Chief Executive, Assistant Directors and Democratic Services Manager in April 2026. And there's 8 risks identified within that risk register. 1 red risk has been identified, 6 risks of amber rating, and 1 risk has a yellow risk rating. So members are asked to approve the Corporate Risk Register and just to note the revisions to the Corporate Services Directorate Risk Register.
Okay, members, any questions? Mr. Bowsey.
So, report 1, appendix 1, page 1.1 capital project delivery. So just to say, firstly, I'm pleased to see good effort has been made by the council to secure the 29.2 million Belfast Region City Deal money. The project that's been proposed is an immersive tourism trail across the council district, and I'm pleased that the DUP's suggestion to look at Killaloe and Delamont is now included in the new plans. My main concern from our perspective at this stage is a lack of detail presented to councillors so far. I feel it's still far too abstract for the time we have left. And I say that because I want to see this be a success, and see who's right to say that it's important that all councillors get behind this. But when we think about mitigating project risk, as we've seen, one of the key risks is when project details become more apparent and parties no longer support the direction of travel down the road. We saw with the Alliance Party, who once supported the Donegal Gondola and then became its biggest critics, to put it nicely. So perhaps political support should be listed as a risk factor on the risk register for this. I don't want to get into the viability of the project in the Audit Committee, but from a risk factor, it is worth reminding ourselves the importance of gaining full political support. And that's partly achieved by directors being upfront as early as possible as to what the project proposal is. So for me personally, Rhywellyn is the jewel in the crown for Rhywellyn. And as a Rhywellyn rep, I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I couldn't give my unconditional support at this stage without knowing what exactly has been built, whether it's appropriate for the area and lives up to the promises made towards Delamont over the years by the council. So going back to the corporate risk register comments, it says that the BRCD board, Department for Economy and Tourism NI, have granted approval. A question to the directors is what has actually been approved, because if they're getting as much detail as councillors have received, I've struggled to know how they could approve this project to proceed to the outlined business case stage. I suppose my real question is, has the BRCD board, etc., been given the same level of concept detail as elected members have? And if not, I'd just caution that we run the risk of plans not meeting parties' expectations at a belated stage. And again, to reiterate, I say this because I want to see the project succeed. At the end of the day, it was the DUP secured the money in 2017.
Okay, Councillor, I'm going to pass to Chief Executive.
Yeah, sure. As Councillor Bowsey would be fully aware, we've discussed this matter at four, possibly five workshops with all councillors. We've discussed the matter at Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee, and indeed we discussed the matter again at council meeting the other night. The council have brought forward and, the proposals around a daisy chain of projects across the four areas that have been outlined, three areas including Castlewell, and then that have been outlined within the report. That's the same information that has been shared with all partners, and we have approval to move to OBC. We are in the process of working on the appointment of a team to work with us. We will continue to engage with councillors throughout and look at the development of this. And as many councillors in this chamber who have been involved in the development of capital projects will know, that it is part of the natural process to go through detail and delivering and developing up what that detail will be. And we will be taking the councillors with us on that journey. So as has been previously highlighted, we're at a stage in time and we're working through.
Thank you, Chief Executive. Councillor Bowsey, just check with Councillor Byrne and Councillor Murphy if you heard the Chief Executive.
Yeah, Sinead and Marie's microphones are working perfectly there.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Bowsey, do you want to come back in on that?
A few other points. I see that there's a new strategic capital project director. Can you confirm whether that's a director or assistant director? And if that's a new post, could that be put in as a mitigating risk factor to bring the overall score down? Other point after that.
If you want to bring all the points in, please.
In relation to Appendix 4, Risk 3, failure to engage, effectively engage with the media, positive and negative, I'm hearing that this council is particularly slow at responding to media inquiries. I would just ask that to be improved. Positive, I think the council is greatly improving its PR in recent months. It's far better at getting the message out there of all the things that it's doing well, because no one's going to do that for you. I know people like me probably don't help matters, but my job is to scrutinise. But I just to commend those who are doing that job of singing the council's praises.
I appreciate Councillor Bowsey's acknowledgement that sometimes in the scrutiny, which we're very open to, the communication of that in a negative way can have a negative impact on council, and would remind all members of that. There is all room for scrutiny, but in how it's done can have a negative impact on the council unnecessarily. In relation to the PR in response to the media, I would prefer that we brought back the stats and the facts on that, because hearing and actually knowing are two different things, so that's something that we will pick up. No issues in that. And in relation to the Strategic Capital Projects Director, that matter was discussed in closed session at SPNR, and I'm happy to pick the detail up with Councillor Bowsey outside of this meeting.
Thank you, Chief Executive. Any further questions? Okay.
I do, yeah.
Oh, sorry, beg your pardon.
So, the new post is in the open session there of Appendix 2, so it can be discussed in open session. So, if you could perhaps just clarify if it's a director or assistant director.
So, it's between a director and an assistant director.
So, do we now have five directors of council?
No, Councillor Bowsey, and again, I would refer you to the closed session report that was presented at SPNR. The reference to the job title is there, but that is all.
Reference to the job title is an open session, so again, I would just say it. I'm entitled to ask for an open session.
Okay. Perhaps maybe could the Chief Executive pick this up with you directly after the meeting? And
Chair, can I suggest that Councillor Bowsey, if he wants to refer to the SPNR report, and also there was discussion with his party leader, and indeed you can pick up with myself as well then after if needed.
It's a job title. I don't know why it's secret.
Well, I would.
And I have said it's between director and assistant director, so I've answered your question.
Thank you. I think there's a confidentiality issue, so I'm between the lines on that, so if we could take it outside the meeting, that would be appreciated. Okay, members, if we could get a proposal and a seconder to approve the corporate risk register and to note the corporate services director's risk register as well, please. Thank you. Proposer? Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Seconder? Thank you, Councillor Hannan. Okay, members, item number 9 is the prompt payment statistics, and Catherine is going to take this first.
Yes, the invoices paid within 30 days was 92%, so that hits the target. The invoices paid outside the 30 days was 8%. The average number of days we are paying suppliers is 14 days.
Any questions, members? Thank you, Catherine. There seems to be good progress being made, so well done. So, members, any questions? No? Okay. Proposer and seconder just to note the report. Councillor Hanlon, thank you. Proposer, seconder, members? Okay, members. Councillor Devon, thank you very much. Okay, members, items 10 to 23 are deemed to be restricted under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. I have a proposer and seconder to go into closed business, please. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Devlin, thank you. Meeting. Item number 10, update and audit recommendations. On the proposal of Councillor Bowsey, seconded by Councillor O'Hare, it was agreed to note the following. The progress in implementing both internal and external audit recommendations and the follow-up recommendations by Summer NI tabled today will also be considered as part of the program forward. Item number 11, Direct Award Contracts Report. On the proposal of Councillor Bousey, seconded by Councillor O'Hare, it was agreed to note the following: the 25-26 quarter four update, the direct award activity 25-26 year in review totals, the active direct award contract as of 31st of March 6th. Item number 12, procurement action plans. On the proposal of Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor Hannan, it was agreed to note the directorate procurement action plans. Item number 13, update on fraud and raising concerns. On the proposal of Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor O'Hare, it was agreed to note the following: the update in relation to fraud and raising concerns cases as detailed in Appendix 1, and the progress and actions arising from the NIAO internal fraud risk self-assessment. Item 14, internal audit contract extension. On the proposal of Councillor Bousey, seconded by Councillor O'Hare, was agreed to agree second one-year extension period in order that work commence in the final year of the four-year internal audit plan. Item 15, audit strategy 25-26. On the proposal of Councillor O'Hare, seconded by Councillor Bousey, it was agreed to note the audit strategy 25-26. Item 16-23, summer NIA summary report. On the proposal of Councillor O'Hare, seconded by Councillor Devlin, it was agreed to note the summer NIA summary report, including performance data and validations, estates management and security, labour market partnership, review of local economic partnership, follow-up of 25-26 recommendations. Item 17, internal audit plan 25-26-27. On proposal of Councillor O'Hare, seconded by Councillor Bousey, it was agreed to approve the internal audit plan 26-27. And item 18, annual assurance report 25-26. On proposal of Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor Bousey, it was agreed to approve the annual assurance report 25-26. Okay, members, that leaves us just with items 24 to 27, which I'm suggesting we could take all together. If I had a proposer and seconder to note, that would be great. Thank you. Bousey? Sure. Thank you very much. Members, that concludes the meeting today. I want to thank you all for coming and all the officers for coming today, and hope you get to enjoy a little bit of that sunshine I can see out the window. Thank you all. See you in July.